many things which seem to be very straightforward, very simplistic. But obviously, if he's telling us these things, there must be some hidden gems, hidden golden nuggets in his words, which we have to delve into. Kuf Lamed Gimel on page Kuf Chaf Aleph. In page Kuf Chaf Aleph, we are up to Halacha Kuf Lamed Gimel. We are still discussing the topic of asking for advice. Ask your fellow man for advice. Never ask advice from a person that you suspect. Shema yi'atzecha lefi daitoi letoiv loch. V'loi titzlach badover. Don't ask a person advice if the advice that he's giving is... One more time. We have to be very careful. Mimi she'atzecha, you suspect. Shema yi'atzecha, he will advise you. Lefi daitoi letoiv loch. V'loi titzlach badover.
No, you
will not be successful. The Ali Day Kane Tachshoid, so you'll suspect it. V'shemaloi Lidatoi Yeotzani Ra. But V'shema, the truth is Noki Hubeze Hadavar. V'oz Yechoshev Luchoi Avon Ki Choshadata Bakeshedin. That's very complicated thing. The thing is that don't go to a person that if it does not turn out well, you will blame him. That's really what he's saying. I like this person. I trust him very much. I believe pretty much 90% that he wants me. I wants my benefit. That's why I'm going to go seek his advice. But if things do not turn out well, I'm going to retroactively suspect he really wanted to do me in, and therefore I'm going to come to be angry and upset, and then I'm going to be choshed. I'm going to suspect that he wanted to cause me harm. And the truth is, it's not likely he really wanted you harm. And then you will be in violation of a very severe prohibition of being choshed b'ksher. In other words, you have to make a very, very tough assessment. You got to be a realist. This what he says here today would never make its way into the media, into all our papers, which are only inspirational stories, which everything always works out to the best. Here, you're going to ask advice. You got to be realistic. He's going to ask me. I have a question. I'm going to ask him for his advice. He's a good man. He'll tell me yes or no. If he tells me yes, I'm going to do it. But what happens if 10 years down the line it does not work out well? So then, you know what? I'm going to blame him. I'm going to blame him for the rest of my life. I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to blame him that you really did not think about, take seriously my question. And you just, off the cuff, you just gave me an answer. And I'm going to hate this person. So my love for this person will be conditional, that the result of listening to his advice will be that it is a success. But I'm not willing to deal with the situation now if it does not turn out to work out. And adraba, then I'll blame him. And the truth is, in all likelihood, this person really want your interest, is taking your question very seriously. And what's going to happen now, down the line, is you will be oiver on a very severe avera of being choshed b'ksherim, suspecting a kosher, a good person, of doing something harmful. So you got to think twice before you ask advice. That's really what it says over here. Okay, let's read the words in Saul one more time. Very complicated words. It's a very, very powerful lesson because people I don't think the average person thinks of it like this. The al tovoy lo kachas etza mimi sha'ata choshtai. Don't ask advice from a person that you are not 100% certain that he has your benefit in mind. Even if he's only a 90% chance he has your benefit in mind, if it's even a small percent that he does not have your benefit in mind, he has negios, he has his own interest in mind, then don't ask him for advice. Don't go and hear what he has to say. Why not? Shema, maybe Yatzcha, he really, in truth, does have your benefit in mind. He really 100% wants you to succeed. And Lefi Daita, at that moment in time when he gives you advice, he's 100% sincere to tell you what to do. L'toivlach. And then you know what happens sometimes in life? Things don't go according to plan. V'loy titzlach badavar. And then you take his advice, and you're not successful. You lose a lot of money. You go into a shidduch, doesn't work out well. And then you think back, well, how did I get here? Because this guy gave me advice. I should have known better. I should have known better. People warned me before I went to ask him advice. People warned me, you know, maybe go somewhere, ask someone else. Why are you going to him? The rest of your miserable life, you're going to say, you're going to accuse him. You'll say it outright, or you will think this. You gave me bad advice because you really couldn't care less about me. You told me what to do because it would have been for your best interest. And the truth is, the person, when he gave the advice, he was a tzaddik, he was sincere, he davened for you, he really wanted you to succeed. And then who really in Shemaim is guilty? You, who are now being choyshei b'ksherim. So therefore, don't even shop around for advice from people that you don't have 100% confidence in, because years later, it may backfire on you if things don't work out. And you will walk around with a grudge against this person. And the truth is, you're probably wrong. Most people don't have it in for you. They're not sitting the whole day thinking about you and worrying how they can cause you harm. And you'll be choshed them b'ksherim for the rest of your life. It is a very, very powerful musa.
The fact that a person advises you wrong, I mean, doesn't mean that intentionally did.
Right, so no, so he's not saying that. So he seems to be saying that most of the time it's not an issue, because when you go to a friend, you know deep in your heart that he only wants your benefit. But let's say you go to a person that, you know, you're not, there's an egeus to him, and the case is much better understood when you go to you have a situation where if the advice that he's giving you affects him as well. Okay, he's asking you, should I invest in this company? Right. And happens to be, his son owns the company. Right. Okay? His son owns the company. So, of course, he's going to say, I should invest. But he really knows that the company is not doing that well. And now this guy will invest, maybe that will keep it going. He has an negius. So if the guy has no negius, then of course, you know, you go ask advice. You need to ask advice. But when you're going to ask advice from a person who has a negius, it bothers you a little bit. Maybe the only reason why he told me I should invest was because his son owns the company.
But that doesn't invalidate it either.
No, exactly. That's the saying. It doesn't. The truth is, he really meant for your good. Maybe he knows information that this company is so successful. It's like beyond, he has inside information. He's even illegal sometimes. Inside information. He has such good. He really meant for your benefit. But because you don't have no way of making that determination, because it's obvious there's a potential of a conflict of interest, let's say it doesn't work out right, so then you're going to hate him. So why go to him? Why go to a person with this potential that things could not work out well, and then you look back and say, well, there was a conflict of interest, and that's why he told me this advice, and now you hate him, and there's no reason to hate him. He really meant for your interest. So those type of situations, stay away. But in a chanam, if you go to a person and there's no conflict of interest, why would he want to go cause you harm? Adrabi, you should go ask that person advice. I always remember there was a story. I told this to you a few times. A person had a child. He had a daughter that very much from a very, very right-wing background, a very good girl, and she wanted to go to medical school. And the girl was a real basiaka girl, and she wanted to go be shoyl etza from gedolim if she should go. The father was a real very real starker ben Torah, very real, and he himself was a. Was a doctor, and there's nothing more he wanted than his daughter to become a doctor. And the daughter wanted to become a doctor. She really wanted to become a doctor. She had the skills, she had the talent, she had the kochas ha-nefesh. And the daughter, though, was conflicted, because where she comes from and all the right-wing school, they looked down on, they frowned upon it. You know, they were not too happy with this idea. So she was conflicted because she grew up in this environment. So what's the, should go ask Das Torah. So the father, oh no, oh no, you're going to go ask Das Tyra? Of course they're going to tell you it's Asa. Of course, you're going to go ask your Rosh Shiva, he'll tell you get married. What are you going to go? And the father felt, rightfully so, he felt that these are the people that she's going to ask, they don't really understand the depth. They don't understand the whole picture. He's a father. He didn't really trust that who she's going to ask will take a serious look and give a responsible answer. So, but the daughter says, I have to go ask. So everything was on the line. Now, by the way, the end was she didn't go. Okay. but at the time, so the father told her, he brought her to someone, very, very fascinating. And the person told her, prepared her to ask the Shaila. You have to know, when you're going to ask the question, you're not asking these Gedolim, who you're going to ask, they'll kill me for saying all this now, okay, you're not asking this question as a halachic Shaila. You're asking this question as advice, as an Eitzah Toiva. When you go ask the Rav the question, you know, I want to know, should I do or not? And he's going to tell you, he's going to talk to you about it. He's not going to talk to you. What he says to you is not halacha. It's not, is the piece of meat treif or kosher? It's begeder advice. Or, and when it comes to asking advice, you're not bound to listen to the advice. He's telling you his opinion. But an opinion is not telling you what to do. You have to differentiate between when you ask a question, you go in blindly to a gadol, das Torah. What should I do? People like that, by Hasidim, it's much more common. You have a Rebbe, and you go to the Rebbe, what should I do? In Europe, they have dilemmas, the most horrible dilemmas in the world. Should you escape? You're sitting in the shtetl, and should you run away, or should you remain? There are dangers both ways. If you run away, you may get killed very easily. Many people have tried to run away, and they got killed in the next country. If I stay, they may come and kill us right here. No one knew, in many of these situations, what to do. You go to the Rebbe. The Rebbe is Ruach HaKodesh. The Rebbe will tell you what to do. What should I do? I'll give you this yes or no. If I'm a chassid, whatever the Rebbe says, you do. Well, then you can go to the Rebbe and say, what do you think? What's your take on this? What are you doing? What's your take on this, on the situation? And he gives you his perspective. You take that perspective and you make your own responsible decision. So when you go ask an Eitzah...
Okay, Rebbe is giving
you
advice, you
got to... I mean, depends. Who's your Rebbe? It depends who you are. Are you a chassid of this Rebbe? If you want to learn a Rebbe and a chassid in the purest way that they have established it, that's right. When the Rebbe tells you what to do, you do it. You jump off the bridge. You jump off the roof. That's what it is. But the Litvish Olam was never like that. Never, ever like that. In Hashkafimat and Halacha, yes. It's a new thing today. Today, every Rosh Shiva today is a Rebbe. It's a fact. And every Rebbe today is a Rosh Shiva. It was never like that before the war. Before the war, it's what they write in the books. I wasn't there, so I can't tell you. But today, we've assimilated amongst ourselves. Everyone has borrowed from the other to... Everything is diluted. There's no pure Litvak, there's no pure Rebbe, everything is a big, big mishmash. But the earlier right after the Holocaust, you would go into a Litvish yeshiva, they didn't worship the Rosh Shiva.
No.
The Rosh Shiva was an employee. No one worshipped him, and he gave a share. It wasn't like whatever, this thing called Das Torah. This is a new invention. It's a new invention. It's a whole, in the Litvish world, you're responsible for your own decisions. And the Gedolei Yisrael, they give advice. They open up the issues for you. They help you understand the issues better, but you ultimately are responsible for your own decisions. In the Hasidic world, no. You're batel or mevutel to the Rebbe. The Rebbe is Das Torah. He's connected to Shemayim, whatever he says you do. It's a different world. Today...
Das Torah,
what?
It's not
called Das Torah. It's better than Das Torah. It's mamish. You have a channel straight to Hashem,
right.
And that channel is a lot about the channel you can create that if you believe in Him. There's a lot of very deep chokhmah behind this. If you believe in Him, it really works. By believing in, and if more people believe, it really works. They once said to Rav Shach, everyone, I'm not telling you any secrets now, everyone knows that Rav Shach was not a chassid of Lubavitch Rebbe, okay, to say the least. Okay, he was not a chassid of Lubavitch Rebbe. So they said to Rav Shach, but the Rebbe has done maifsin. Mamish, I proved to you on paper. Mamish, maifsin. So supposedly he answered, he said, well, study Chassidus, study the koyach of Chassidus, Chassidim. If you believe in something that's right, you give it a koyach. And he said, if you take a piece of wood, and you believe in the piece of wood, it's Avodah Zarah. If you believe in a piece of wood, that piece of wood has special spiritual powers. It's a very powerful statement. That's right. I don't know how far do you. I mean, that's the question. Well, that's what he's trying to say is the Rebbe. He believed the Rebbe. You're right. This is the way I understand his answer. You're no question. The Rebbe was poyel maifsim because the Hasidim gave him that power. But Rav Shach had an issue that. But when the Rebbe has that power because the Hasidim fully believe in him and he has that power, but the Rebbe also has to his approach. Tiyadus has to be correct. He also contributes. And Rav Shach had a difference of opinion with the Rebbe with regard to certain matters. So just because the Rebbe does maifsim, that doesn't mean anything. It's a maifis of kedusha. Chas v'shem. Don't say the girl. It's a maifis of kedusha. But where does he get you get kedusha? Because people believe in you. You take a person off the street, like you take a child. You have a Rebbe dies, and they have a child. The child, this kid. Is going to be the new Rebbe? Are you joking? This Zilde Chaya, who doesn't know, that hasn't spent one day, can't sit still for 2 minutes, all of a sudden he's now going to be our new Rebbe. He's going to go tell us what to do? Are you joking? There are a million people in this room that are more qualified to be the Rebbe. What is the answer? It doesn't matter that he's not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If the Hasidim believe in him, this is what's called, this is the Baal Shem Tov. The Hasidim believe in him. This creates a Ruach HaKodesh, a channel that he can do Moivsim for you. Now, obviously, the bigger Talmud Chacham he is, and the more spiritual that he is, then the greater Rebbe he will be. So, let's try to teach him, let's try to, you know, get him on the right path, bring him back on the Derech, get him on the Derech, and make him a Talmud Chacham, and the combination of us believing in him, plus he'll do the best that he can, is good enough. It's good enough. So that's what he told the, you know, Rav Shah, he said, Lubavitch Rebbe is about my face, no question about it. Because the Chassidim believe in him. Talmud Chacham, you can't argue. Incredible. There were certain issues, particular issues, Rav Shach was not a difference of opinion, so that's why he kept his machne. No, that's already a little bit different. Besides the Hasidim, they go all the way back. That's because the Misnagdim, the original Hasidim before the Gra. The reason why Hasidim are around today is only for one reason. It's clear everyone right knows about this, because of the Gra. The Gra put them in their place. The original Hasidim were off the wall, or totally. They went way overboard from the Baal Shem Tov. They went too far. It became a religion of mysticism. It became a little bit. The Gra, through his intense, his snagdus, to Hasidim, put them in check. He became their moral conscience, their guilty conscience, and that brought them back into a world which was very good, very beneficial. They embraced certain ideas of serving Hashem through love and joy, and de-emphasizing the intellectual element of Yadus, which is not for the masses. The masses are not focusing on intellectual elements. They're focusing more on emotion. And there was a very great void in Klal Yisrael that you need someone to take these people who cannot learn a Daf Gemara, who are not going to, that's not what their focus in life is, to be an intellectual, and to show that you can serve Hashem through love and through singing and dancing and eating and these elements, that was a critical thing, and it went a little bit too far, and the Groth, who is the Snagdus, brought them back into the world of, to bring a little bit of Musar, really, what he did was to bring a shtickle Musar into the world of Hasidim. And today, that's what we have, today we're all Hasidim. Today we're all Hasidim, we're all Litvaks. Everyone today, is there a shul today in the whole world that doesn't sing during Yom Narayim? Is there a yeshiva in the whole world today that doesn't sing during the Yom Narayim? There is. Near Yeshiva, near Tshal. Near Tshal. I daven there. Wow, on Rosh Chodesh. I never in my life saw such a dry davening. Okay, I was there Rosh Chodesh El. I'm not exaggerating. Davening took 2 hours. Rosh Chodesh El, not exaggerating. Eyewitness, near Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, it took 2 hours, Shachris. No singing, the halal, no singing. It was the driest davening I ever saw. That's a real litvish place. That's the real deal. By Hasidim, all yeshivas, no yeshivas like that today. Chaim, when I first went to Chaim, I was very, very little. It was pretty dry. It was pretty, pretty dry. The singing came out nothing. Now it's a concert. Now Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's Mamasha concerts. Mamasha concerts. Every year, more and more and more, more and more things. What happened over here? What happened over there? There used to be nothing. It was Baruch Atah Kel Adonai Al Kol HaMaaseh. And now, you go there, Chaim Berlin, what's going on over here? That's the world. Because you need a little bit of both. Okay, yeah.
They say, let's take the Litvaks. In the Eretz Yisrael, if you go to Bnei Brak, you have to make sure that you pick the right gadol if you're coming for advice or you're coming for a bracha.
Right.
Because if you go to the one who gives the brachas and you ask him advice,
you finished.
You might get him wrong.
Right.
They also say about Kesidim, there was a Ben Kedoshim who came to another big rabbi. He says, you know, I have Gilo Elio, no one knows to learn like I know how to learn. I don't eat during the week, but I don't have, I'm not such an accepted rebbe. So what's the secret of the trade? He says, no points for you to be tzaddik and all that. You got the Hasidim to understand.
You have to have believers, followers.
You have to have
followers. Followers. But you have to appreciate, it's not just, oh, you have followers, you're a rebbe. There's something spiritual about it. I believe in this. I really believe in this. If you have followers who believe in you, you have Ruach HaKodesh. Because your decisions affect other people. Other people believing in you, you are a spirit. You really have Ruach HaKodesh. And you don't have to be special. You can be the average Joe off the street. If 10,000 people believe in you, you're the average guy. Your IQ is below average. You're not the biggest Talmud Chacham. You're not the best Davener. You're not the best Davener. If 10,000 people believe in you, you really have Ruach HaKodesh. And so who are you going to pick to be the candidate, to be the one person everyone's going to rally around? The easiest way out is the child. If a Rebbe dies, he has an older son. So you're the Malim Mekoyman. Are there a thousand people who are smarter than you, bigger talmidei chachamim than you, no can concentrate in davening shmona esrei with more concentration than you? Yeah, there are. There certainly are. But that doesn't matter. You know why? Because all we need is a person whom we all can believe in. And when we believe in him, in shamayim, it will create a real spiritual channel that through that person, we'll all benefit. So as long as you're in the Shomer Shabbos and you're good enough. Halavai, you're a genius and you're Talmud Chacham and you're this and you're Baal Midos. Oh, then that combination, that's like off the charts. If you can get a person who's a real, authentic, on his own, a real Talmud Chacham, a real Yerei Shemayim, a real good person, a good heart, and everyone believes in him, you know what that can do? You can be Mashiach. You can mamash bring Mashiach, such a person. But unfortunately, it's a very hard combination. You have people who attack a real tzaddikim, but they have very few followers. They have just a handful of followers. And then you have people who have thousands of followers, but nothing special. And then, they'll admit it. It's not like we're making things up. They'll admit I'm nothing really special, but I'm the Rebbe. I'm the Rebbe. These are my Hasidim, and this is the that's how Hasidus works. They believe in me. I do the best that I can do. I daven 3 times a day. I learn every day. I do the best I can do. So what's so terrible? What's so terrible? You create a koyach. You go to a Rebbe. What's so terrible for you to go to a Rebbe? I mean, you look at the Rebbe. The Rebbe is half your age. He's half your age, and you're not very impressed with his scholarship. What's so terrible? Is he a Shomer Shabbos? Is he a good person? The whole day he's sitting in an environment of Kedusha. You're not. You're working half the day, whatever you're doing. He's in an environment of Kedusha, and he has the advantage that 10,000 people believe in him. You know, so when you go and you give him a kvittel, it works. It really works. That's the lomdis of Hasidus. That's how Hasidus works. You have to understand that principle to understand why there's something about Hasidus. So here, when a Rebbe tells you to do something, gives you advice, it's a done deal. In the Litvish Olam, it was never like this. In the Litvish Olam, is a man is responsible for his own decisions. You stand, don't blame, don't wake up later in life and say, blame someone. You make your own decisions. So he, the Sefer HaChosid, the Chosid is talking like a Litvak here. Okay? He's talking like a Litvak, and he's telling you, you're going for advice, you're going to make a decision, and you have no one to blame but yourself, so don't go accuse someone else. Don't accuse someone else. This is more of a Litvish approach than of a Hasidish approach. One more paragraph, and we have another very interesting topic. One more paragraph. Kufla Amadal, Amar Hechacham. Ten eitz atav nechayne l'chol adam asher yovah yetzlochol l'sya eitz afilu l'soyin ech, even to your enemy. B'bnei shnei to'amim, if two people come to ask you advice, always give good advice no matter what, even an enemy. Why? Ech rasher midin shemayim v'lo yibchocheit. Number one, you have to be yorish shemayim, if someone don't, yeah, Hashem is watching. The oid, ki bezet tisnakei mi soynacha, ki soynacha yachshe b'lovava v'adai zeh soyn yoysi lo yoatsani toivo v'yanich datcha v'yase dover acher, Asher yeloi l'nichshol. This is the ultimate revenge. He's teaching us over here psychology. The way you take revenge on your enemy is to be nice to your enemy. What? And to be nice. To be nice to your enemy. That's the way you kill with kindness. It says better than nice. Better, it says give him good advice. An enemy comes, he is at your mercy. I think you give him good advice. Really, really, I never thought of that. It's very common. You go, Sisera and Yoel, what do you mean?
She killed him with kindness.
She killed him with kindness. Okay, interesting, interesting idea. But not really. but think about it. You go ask advice. So what happened to ask advice? So is it yes or no? No, it's much more than that. They tell you ideas. You know something? I never thought of that. That changes the equation. I never understood this facet. So you tell your enemy, you're in a situation, let me tell you something very interesting that you never thought about. Wow. It changes. And then what happens? He reflects. He's filled with shame. How could I have been so nasty to this person? Look how good he is to me. That is the ultimate revenge. The ultimate revenge is to be kind and nice to your enemies. Now, it doesn't always work, Rabbi Sani. You got to take it with a grain of salt, and the conditions must be right. But
it's going to give him the best advice, okay. But he's going to do vice versa. He said what he told me, because he's my enemy, he wants me to make problems for me.
Okay, we're going to stop here. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to talk about... We're going to continue from yesterday, but a different topic. On the second day, Yom Tov, are you allowed to bury the dead?
My father was buried on the second day.
Are you allowed to bury them on the first day of Yom Tov and all of the related material? It's a big sugya.
Yes, if he's going to give him good advice...